Practice makes perfect, perhaps not. A new study finds that practice is not enough to explain gaps in skill levels between individuals. Michigan State University Associate Professor of Psychology Zach Hambrick co-authored the study. Zach, welcome to Current State Weekend.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So the study, in a way, it debunks that myth that practice makes perfect, that expression you hear all the time as a kid, inspiring flautist that I was. Anyway, how did you come to this conclusion?
Well, the big question here is whether differences across people in performance in domains like music are only due to practice. So there is the view popularized by Malcolm Gladwell that people who practice the same amount should pretty much reach about the same level of performance. And so we wanted to empirically test this view. And so we summarized findings from previous studies and basically asked the simple question whether differences in performance across people are due entirely or mostly to differences in practice, and the answer to the question for both chess and music, the two most widely studied domains in this area of research, the answer is no. So practice is undeniably important. No one would ever deny the importance of practice for becoming an expert. You have to engage in practice or some form of training to become an expert. But the bottom line is that there's more to the story.
So if practice can't explain these differences in performance levels, then what does?
Well, there are a few factors. So one is appears to be starting age. So starting young gives people an advantage later on. So this has been demonstrated in chess. So there may be a critical period for acquiring complex skills like chess, just as there may be a critical period for acquiring language. Another factor is basic ability. So in chess and in music, measures of both general and specific aptitudes or abilities correlate with performance. So we think that that is at least part of the rest of the puzzle.
Now, in a previous study, you were looking, or it's proposed that working memory capacity is related to general intelligence. Can you talk a little bit about this work and how you came to the conclusion in that case?
So, right, the question in that study was whether working memory capacity, which is the ability to hold information in the focus of attention, and a factor that's thought to be an important component of intelligence, the question was whether that factor contributed to people's success in sight reading music, even after you took into account the effect of practice. And the answer was yes, it did. So working memory capacity predicted people's performance in piano sight reading above and beyond practice, and it was important even for people with many thousands of hours of practice.
How does, then, your understanding of working memory capacity speak to your latest study or your latest work?
Well, working memory capacity is one of the basic abilities that we think might account for differences across people in performance that practice does not account for.
You mentioned earlier about kind of this debate of whether it's innate talent or deliberate practice that kind of determines one's proficiency. And authors and thinkers of the past, as you mentioned, had argued that kind of intelligence can only take you so far, and you disagree with that. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes. So this is an old debate in psychology. It's one of the long-standing questions in psychology. So what makes people great at what they do? And most recently, the view that practice accounts for most, if not all, of the differences across people has been advanced by a Florida State University psychologist named K. Anders Ericsson. So he introduced the term deliberate practice. So deliberate practice is engaging in activities that are created specifically to elevate your performance in a domain. And so Erickson has made a very strong argument, or has strongly argued, I guess I should say, that deliberate practice largely accounts for differences across people in performance. And this is an appealing view. I mean, we would all like to think that it's the case. Wouldn't it be great if that we all were sufficiently motivated to practice, we could become experts? But what we wanted to do is to empirically test this view. And our study and simply doesn't support that view. So, again, is deliberate practice important for performance? Of course. You have to practice in order to become an expert musician or an expert athlete or an expert in whatever. But it's quite clear that there's more to the story. In both chess and music, only about a third of the differences across people in performance can be accounted for by deliberate practice. The rest is due to something else that is not deliberate practice.
And as you mentioned, one of those kind of something else is in part in intelligence. And if, you know, intelligence is playing a role in one's abilities and in achieving an expert status, I guess, is there a way to improve someone's general intelligence in ways that we, is there a way?
Well, that's a good question. There are certainly efforts to do this. So this is the whole premise of so-called brain training. So the idea that you can give people exercise in elementary cognitive tasks and that it'll boost their general intelligence. I will say that the evidence for the effectiveness of that sort of brain training is quite weak at this point. So it could be that much long that what's critical is training in these sorts of tasks over a very long period of time. But you know, I'm not optimistic that even that will work. So general intelligence, whether we like it or not, is something that turns out to be quite stable across the lifespan.
And I think just for a second, I want to go back and can you define what you mean by general intelligence for all of our listeners out there?
Sure. We think of it as the ability to solve novel problems, adapt to new situations, and to learn, to profit from experience.
So the phrasing practice makes perfect for me, kind of, it seems like it's really tied into the mythology or of the American dream, this concept or idea that if I work hard enough, I can do anything, I can achieve this perfection and goal. And I think for some people, you know, hearing the results of your study, it might seem kind of discouraging. I guess, is it? Do you think
it's
discouraging?
Well, I agree with you. I think it is. It's sort of the cornerstone of the American dream in some ways. The silver lining, we think, to these conclusions that practice is important, but it's not the whole story. The silver lining is that if people are given an accurate assessment of their abilities and of the likelihood of achieving expertise in one domain versus another, given those abilities, they can make good decisions about how they want to spend their time practicing.
Zach Hamburg is an associate professor of psychology at Michigan State University and co-author of the study recently published in the journal Intelligence. Zach, once again, thanks for your time.
Thank you.